ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 14 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड किंग पुरुरवा एंचैंटेड बाय उर्वशी। विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम टेक्स्ट 10 थ्रू 21। टेक्स्ट 10 तत्याज व्रीडितातारा तत्याज व्रीडितातारा कुमारं कनकप्रभं स्पृहाम् आङ्गीरसश्चक्रे कुमारे सोम एव च यूज़ ऑफ योर अननेसेसरी शेम। व्हाई डू यू नॉट एडमिट योर फॉल्ट? इमीजिएटली टेल मी अबाउट योर फॉल्टी बिहेवियर। टेक्स्ट 13 ब्रह्मा ताम रह आहूय संप्राक्षिच च शांतवयन सोमस्येत आह सनकै सोमस्तम तावदग्रहीत। लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा देन ब्रॉट तारा टू अ सेक्लूडेड प्लेस एंड आफ्टर पैसिफाइंग हर ही आस्क्ड टू हूम द चाइल्ड एक्चुअली बिलोंग्ड। शी रिप्लाइड वेरी स्लोली दिस इज द सन ऑफ सोम द मून गॉड। Then the moon god immediately took charge of the child. Text 14. Tasyatma yonir akrita buddha ityabhidam nrpa buddhya gambhiraya yena putrena poduran mudam. O Maharaj Parikshit, when Lord Brahma saw that the child was deeply intelligent, he gave the child the name Buddha. The moon god, the ruler of the stars, enjoyed great jubilation because of this son. Tathap pururava jagne ilayam ya udahrtah tasya rupa gunau darya shila dravina vikraman srutvor vasindra bhavane giyamanan surarshina tadantikam upeyaya devi smarasharardita. Thereafter, from Buddha, through the womb of Ila, a son was born named Pururava, who was described in the beginning of the 9th canto. When his beauty, personal qualities, magnanimity, behavior, wealth and power were described by Narada in the court of Lord Indra, the celestial woman Urvashi was attracted to him. Pierced by the arrow of Cupid, she thus approached him. Mitra Varunayo Sapad आपन्ना नरलोकताम निशम्य पुरुषश्रेष्ठम कंदर्पम इव रूपिणम धृतिम विष्ठभ्य ललना उपतस्ते तदंतिके सताम विलोक्य नृपतिर हर्षेणोत्फुल्ललोचन उवाच श्लक्षणया वाचा देवीम हृष्टतनूरुहा। हैविंग बीइंग कर्स्ड बाय मित्र एंड वरुण, द सेलेशियल वुमन उर्वशी हैड एक्वायर्ड द हैबिट्स ऑफ अ ह्यूमन बीइंग। Therefore, upon seeing Pururava, the best of males, whose beauty resembled that of Cupid, she controlled herself and then approached him. When King Pururava saw Urvashi, his eyes became jubilant in the ecstasy of joy, and the hairs on his body stood on end. With mild, pleasing words, he spoke to her as follows. Shri Rajovacha Swagatam Te Vararohe आस्यातम करवामकिं समरमस्व मया शाकं रतिर्नौ सरस्वती समाह। किंग पुरुरवा सेड, ओ मोस्ट ब्यूटिफुल वुमन, यू आर वेलकम। प्लीज सिट हियर एंड टेल मी व्हाट आई कैन डू फॉर यू। यू मे एंजॉय विथ मी एज लॉन्ग एज यू डिजायर। लेट अस पास आवर लाइफ हैप्पीली इन अ सेक्सुअल रिलेशनशिप। उर्वश्युवाच कस्यास्त्वयिने सज्जेत मनो दृष्टिश्च सुंदर यद अंगांतरम आसाद्य चवते हि रिरंशया। Translation, Urvashi replied, O most handsome man, who is the woman whose mind and sight would not be attracted by you? If a woman takes shelter of your chest, she cannot refuse to enjoy with you in a sexual relationship. There is a short purport. When a beautiful man and a beautiful woman unite together and they embrace one another, how within these three worlds can they check their sexual relationship? Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, text 45 says, Yan Vaithunadi Grihamedi Sukham Hitucham. Text 21. Eta Urana Kaurajan Nyasau Rakshasvamanada Samram Se Bhavata Shakam Slaghya Strinam Varah Smritah. My dear King Pururava, please give protection to these two lambs who have fallen down with me. Although I belong to the heavenly planets and you belong to earth, I shall certainly enjoy sexual union with you. I have no objection to accepting you as my husband, for you are my superior in every respect. Purport. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.40, Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shvashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam. There are various planets and various atmospheres within this universe. The atmosphere of the heavenly planet from which Urvashi descended after being cursed by Mitra and Varuna was different from the atmosphere of this earth. Indeed, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets are certainly far superior to the inhabitants of earth. Nonetheless, Urvashi agreed to remain the consort of Pururava, although she belonged to a superior community. A woman who finds a man with superior qualities may accept such a man as her husband. Similarly, if a man finds a woman who is from an inferior family but who has good qualities, he can accept such a brilliant wife, as advised by Sri Chanakya Pandit, Stri Ratnam Duskuladapi. The combination of male and female is worthwhile if the qualities of both are on an equal level. Just a couple of days ago, His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj also, he gave class, Srimad Bhagavatam class. And while giving class on the preceding verses, he started his class with one line. He said that this part of the Srimad Bhagavatam that we are in is highly inconceivable. So actually, I am most unqualified. With so much senior devotees, Srila Prabhupada disciples sitting in the audience, devotees who have much more interest and taste in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the holy names. But I am just taking this opportunity for my own purification to try to speak some words and try to somehow get through this thick skull of mine the urgency of developing some taste for Srimad Bhagavatam and for chanting the holy names of the Lord. So, I would like to beg for all your blessings before I begin. So, this particular, the series of verses that have been allotted today, so in this series of verses, actually the whole pastime starts previously about how Tara was kidnapped by Soma, and in spite of constant Brihaspati asking Soma to return his wife, he did not return. And later on, after Brahma intervened and Lord Brahma convinced Soma to return Tara to Brihaspati, when she comes back to Brihaspati, Brihaspati finds that she is expecting a child. So then, His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj, he explained very nicely how it's not that like in today's modern world, how it is so easy, an unwanted pregnancy is so easily just discarded with such sterile names as medical termination of pregnancy and all those things. But that was not the way how it is done in Vedic times. Devamrita Maharaj said ke Brihaspati immediately he told Tara that whose child is this? And he says, first he says, your womb which was meant for me to impregnate has been impregnated by someone other than me. So immediately deliver that child. Not that you just terminate, but immediately deliver the child. And then be assured that after the child is delivered, I shall not burn you to ashes. I know that although you are unchaste, you wanted a son, and therefore I shall not punish you. So, and then we read further in today's verses that Tara, she gave birth to the child who had a very golden bodily hue, and then there is a fight which breaks out between Brihaspati and Soma about the paternity of the child. Whom does the child belong to? And ultimately, even the child chastises his own mother and tells her to reveal the identity of its father. So then Tara, when she is taken to a secluded place by Lord Brahma, she reveals that actually Soma is the father of this child, and therefore Soma takes away the child. So seeing the intelligence of this child, Lord Brahma names the child as Buddha. So then we see that how Buddha begot a child from the womb of Ila, whose name was Pururava, and all the description of the beauty and all these various qualities of Pururava, his beauty, his personal qualities, magnanimity, behavior, wealth and power, they are so great that those qualities were also described by a personality no less than Narad Muni in the court of Indra. So Pururava had such great qualities that those qualities merited mention by no less a personality than Narad Muni, and not on some earthly planet, but even among the denizens of the heavenly planets. In fact, the ruler of the heavenly planets, Indra, in his court, Narad Muni is describing the qualities of Pururava, who is a denizen of the earthly planet. So hearing such great qualities, the celestial woman Urvashi, she was struck by this arrow of Cupid. So I was wondering, and then the story goes ahead, so I was wondering that where do I begin? So I was hearing one class, and by one Srila, one of disciples of Srila Prabhupada, and he said, there was a very interesting line, he said, when a man meets woman and a woman meets man, then Cupid has a field day. I mean, it's a very ideal hunting ground for Cupid. And he said, he has a quiver of very special arrows. These arrows of sexual desire are used to pierce the hearts of man and woman. So now we have to understand one thing, that all these personalities that we are reading about in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading about so many personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Srimad Bhagavatam is an account of the activities and the pastimes of various devotees of the Lord. And we have to understand that all these personalities who merit a mention in the Srimad Bhagavatam are very special personalities. Because you have to understand the background in which Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken. Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken by Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, when Parikshit Maharaj has been given only 7 days before he meets with Takshak and he will leave this earthly planet. So 7 days is all the time that Parikshit Maharaj has got, and he wants to hear the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and perfect his life. And that perfectional state, he wants to leave this body. So we have to understand, even Shukadeva Maharaj is aware of the urgency of the situation. And therefore, he will not mention any frivolous topic or not mention any character or any personality not worth mentioning in that discussion. So therefore, I would like to state at the very outset that all these personalities who are mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever their activities that we see, apparently we may feel maybe something which does not, we are not able to understand, or as we heard, their activities may seem very inconceivable to us, not in line with the social norms. But still we have to understand that there is a reason for their inclusion. They are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami. So making that point very clear right at the outset, that they are, these are all the most worshipable personalities. Like when we were reading about the dynasty of various kings in the dynasty of sun god, and now we are reading in various kings in the dynasty of moon god. So when devotees were speaking, quite a few of the speakers, they mentioned that why are all these dynasties described in this book, in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So they made it very clear that actually all these kings were pure devotees of the Lord. And just by hearing about their activities, their pastimes, their lineage, it is purifying for us. Similarly, whatever might be the apparent activities with my mundane intelligence or mundane intelligence, we may feel that this is some social deviation. What kind of activities they are performing, and how we can sit on Vyasasana and discuss this. But you have to understand that these personalities have merited a mention in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Sukadeva Goswami, and therefore they are most worshipable. So having said that, let us make an humble attempt to try and understand what is the lesson that we can learn from these particular episodes that we are reading currently in Srimad Bhagavatam. So here Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, one of the small purports, Prabhupada mentions in the purport to text 20, when a beautiful man and a beautiful woman unite together and embrace one another, how within these three worlds can they check their sexual relationship? So therefore we see in the Vedic culture, this is not at all sanctioned. A woman and a man embracing each other in public is absolutely not permissible in Vedic culture. That is not, however, in the Western culture, Prabhupada says in one of his discussions, you see men and women embracing each other openly and freely. What to speak of in even Mahaprabhu's time, Mahaprabhu says that even if I see a wooden doll, and we have so many examples of how Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur during his time, how there would be very strict segregation. So what to speak of embracing each other in public in Vedic culture, there is not even question of talking freely or talking without any service related issues to the Lord. Just what in Western or in English language is called as flirting around is strict no-no in the Vedic culture. But in the Western culture, Prabhupada mentions that we see men and women embracing each other, mixing with each other very freely. And Prabhupada has often quoted this analogy. We have heard from Prabhupada often this analogy of fire and butter, which is very much in line with this purport that we have just read, that when man meets woman, when a beautiful man and beautiful woman get together and embrace, there is no way they can check themselves in a sexual relationship. So Prabhupada used to say that as much as we want, we can keep a block of butter for thousands of years in a freezer, but if the butter comes near close to fire, then it is bound to melt. So what causes such incidences from happening? Like in the waves of devotion, this is a summary study of the Nectar of Devotion by His Holiness Dhanudhara Swami Maharaj. He gives a very nice chart explaining the cycle of sin. So what causes this? I'm sure most of you all have seen this chart. So what causes such incidents from happening? So in that particular chart of cycle of sin, His Holiness Dharudhar Swami Maharaj, he says that the root cause of all sin is ignorance or avidya. So ignorance of what? Ignorance of our true nature. Ignorance of our true nature, that we are not this body. But is it just ignorance? Do we not have any examples where even apparently learned personalities have succumbed to certain urges, certain impulses? Is it just ignorance or is it something more? So in the fifth canto, we get a hint of this when when the residents of Jambudvip, they offer prayers to the Lord. So in one of the verses, the ruler of Jambudvip, Bhadrashrava, he prays, Vadanti Vishwam Kavayasmanashwaram Pashyanti Chadhyatmito Ido Vipaschitaha Tathapi Muhyanti Tavaja Mayaya Suvismitam Krityam Ajam Natosmitam. So he said, O unborn Lord, O unborn one, learned Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge certainly know that this material world is perishable, as do other logicians and philosophers. Not only that they know this, but in trance they realize the factual position of this world and they preach the truth as well. Yet even they are sometimes bewildered by our illusory energy. This is your own wonderful pastime. Therefore, I can understand that your illusory energy is very wonderful, and I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So again, we get a glimpse in this prayer. King Bhadrashrava, he is very clearly mentioning that it is not only those who are ignorant, those who have no knowledge about their true nature, but also learned scholars, Vedic scholars who are advanced in spiritual knowledge. Not only are they advanced in spiritual knowledge, but they have realized the factual position of this world. What is this material world? Even such Vedic scholars, they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord. And in the preceding lectures, in the past few weeks, we have heard examples like Jaimini Rishi. Jaimini, who is the proponent of one of the six branches of Vedic knowledge, how we have heard from the speaker of the Bhagavatam, how he also was bewildered at one point of time. And in the purport to this text from fifth canto, Prabhupada mentions about Bharat Maharaj. Just before this chapter, where the residents of Jambudvip offer prayers to the Lord, Prabhupada mentions that we have just heard about Bharat Maharaj, about how he was so much elevated in his spiritual practices, but even such a personality, he could get deviated. And also immediately after the fifth canto, in the sixth canto, right at the beginning, again there is one very great personality from whom we get to learn a lot, and to whom I am personally indebted a lot. And this personality is none other than Ajamil. So in the pastime of Ajamil, when the order carriers of Yamraj, Yamdutas, they are checked by Vishnu Dutas. When the order carriers of Yamraj, they are checked by Vishnu Dutas, then the Yamdutas, they explain to the Vishnu Dutas why this personality deserves to be taken to the court of Yamraj. And they explain the entire history of Ajamil. They begin by telling who Ajamil was. And what do they say? They say, in the beginning, this Brahmana named Ajamil, he studied all the Vedic literature. So again, we have a personality who is not ignorant. He is not ignorant. He studied all the Vedic literatures. And not just he studied theoretically, but that study of Vedic literatures translated into his, that personality Ajamil, being a reservoir of good character, good conduct and good qualities. Firmly established in executing all the Vedic injunctions, he was very mild and gentle, and he kept his mind and senses under control. Furthermore, he was always truthful. He knew how to chant the Vedic mantras and he was also very pure. He was very respectful to his spiritual master, fire god, guests and the elderly members of his household. Indeed, he was free from false prestige. He was upright, benevolent to all living entities and well-behaved. He would never speak nonsense or envy anyone. So these are the qualities which are exhibited by Ajamil. So then what happened? We all know the story of Ajamil. So what happened? So one day, this Brahmana Ajamil, not whimsically, not just out of some his personal whims and fancies, so now I am feeling very bored, let me go out for a walk or something like that. No. Following the order of his father, he went to the forest to collect fruits, flowers and two kinds of grasses called Samita and Kusha. On the way home, he came upon a Shudra, a very lusty fourth class man who was shamelessly embracing and kissing a prostitute. The Shudra was smiling, singing and enjoying as if this were proper behavior. Both the Shudra and the prostitute were drunk. The prostitute's eyes were rolling in intoxication and her dress had become loose. Such was the condition in which Ajamil saw them. So again we see this particular incident where Ajamil is witnessing such behavior on the part of this man and woman. So Prabhupada says in the purport, drunk in this age of Kali, such sin is seen everywhere. What sin? That is drunkenness. Drunkenness was not very frequent, but drunkenness was sometimes manifest even in bygone ages, although not very frequently. In this age of Kali, however, such sin is to be seen everywhere, for people all over the world have become shameless. And Prabhupada mentions another very gem of a line. He said, long ago, when he saw the scene of the drunken Shudra and the prostitute, Ajamil, who was a perfect brahmachari, was affected. Nowadays, such sin is visible in so many places. And we must consider the position of a brahmachari student who sees such behavior. For such a brahmachari to remain steady is very difficult unless he is extremely strong in following the regulative principles. And Prabhupada, commenting on the state of affairs when he was in the Western world, he says, in Kali Yuga, a drunk half-naked woman embracing a drunk man is a very common sight, especially in Western countries. And restraining oneself after seeing such things is very difficult. So, we see that in so many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, apparently we don't understand why such graphic descriptions of interaction between man and woman has been described. But from this, Sukadev Goswami is trying to instruct all us conditioned souls about the nature of the human nature. So, as we began, the root of sin is explained to be avidya or ignorance. But we have seen that also, it's not necessarily that being ignorant only contributes. Even those personalities who are sufficiently well-versed and properly, who have understood the Vedic literatures and are practicing a lifestyle based on Vedic literature, even those personalities sometimes get bewildered. So what is the cause? How are they getting bewildered? So then we read further, the Shudra, his arm decorated with turmeric powder, was embracing the prostitute. When Ajamil saw her, the dormant lusty desires in his heart awakened, and in illusion he fell under their control. As far as possible, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the Shastras, not even to see a woman. With the help of this knowledge and his intellect, he tried to control his lusty desires. But because of the force of Cupid within his heart, he failed to control his, the keyword is mind. He failed to control his mind. So it is this mind which drags a living entity, in spite of having knowledge, in spite of being well-versed in all the scriptural injunctions, in spite of being practicing all the scriptural injunctions perfectly and trying very hard, like we read in this verse, that he tried to remember, he patiently tried to remember the instructions of the Shastras which he had studied. And those instructions mentioned that he has not to even see a woman. But in spite of that, he could not do it. He could not control his lusty desires because the force of the Cupid within his heart, because of that, he failed to control his mind. So, we see, like we are talking about Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj also, after, when he became, he had to take the birth of the deer and then he became Jad Bharat. Apparently, externally, he was acting, his activities were like that of a Jad person, or a person who does not understand much, or is like dim-witted. But then, in the chapter where Jad Bharat instructs King Rahuguna, he gives very nice instructions to King Rahuguna. And one of the instructions he says is, Nayavadetan mana atmalingam samsaratapavapanam janasya yachokamoha mayaragalobha vairanubandham mamatam vidhatte. So what does Jad Bharat tell King Rahuguna? He says, the soul's designation, the mind, is the cause of all tribulations in the material world. As long as this fact is unknown to the conditioned living entity, he has to accept the miserable condition of the material world and wander within this universe in different positions. Because the mind is affected by disease, lamentation, illusion, attachment, greed and enmity, it creates bondage and a false sense of intimacy within this material world. So, Jad Bharat very rightly places the fault squarely upon the mind. And Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, the mind is the cause of both material bondage and illusion. Like we see, Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he tells Arjuna, what does he tell Arjuna? That one must deliver himself with the mind, with the help of his mind, and not degrade himself. In the 6th chapter, Dhyan Yoga, one must deliver himself with the help of the mind and not degrade oneself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So, in the 6th chapter itself, after he says this, what does Arjuna say? After he has explained the entire Dhyan Yoga, what is Arjuna's response? Arjuna, who is such a great warrior, who has displayed such an extreme degree of expertise in focusing all his attention, in completely concentrating his mind on hitting certain targets, like during the Swayamvar of Draupadi. It was a very difficult target which Arjuna had to hit, looking at the reflection, the wheel was rotating, and all those things. But still, he could focus his mind, he could concentrate his mind so finely that he could hit that target. And that personality He is responding after Krishna explains to him in Dhyan Yoga how he should control the mind, and so that personality, he is saying that Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramati balavadrida, that this mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate and very strong. O Krishna, to subdue the mind, I think, is more difficult than controlling the raging wind. So then, this mind is so difficult to control that such personalities, even in the 11th canto, we hear in the prayers of the Avanti Brahman, he is singing, that these people are not the cause of my happiness and distress. Neither are the demigods, my body, the planets, my past work or time. So what is the cause of my happiness or distress? It is the mind alone that causes happiness and distress and perpetuates the rotation of material life. So therefore, we have to understand that because of this mind, we create multiple designations. We have these many multifarious designations. Like, we like to think that I am a good preacher, I am a good manager, I am father, I am a president. So many designations people like to give to each other, oneself. And all these identities are dependent on certain material circumstances. So, like for example, if one person, he feels that I am the, I am a very good manager, and suddenly that person gets sacked from his job. So then he completely loses his identity. Because what happens, he gets bewildered, because his identity as a manager is dependent on some other conditioned living entity who is also a slave of the six anarthas. So those, we create so many identities, so many designations this mind creates. So therefore, the conditioned soul is forever in anxiety because of these designations created by the mind and the false ego. So, a very nice example, one time His Grace Gaurang Prabhu gave in Bhagavatam class, I would like to quote here. So it is like, suppose there is a truck and a rope is tied behind the truck, and that rope we tie around our waist. And the truck starts moving and we are dragged behind the truck. The truck starts moving and we are running behind, trying to keep pace. At some point of time, the truck attains a speed where we cannot keep pace and we are dragged along wherever the truck goes. And we are completely bruised. And we wonder, why is this truck driver giving me so much trouble? And we apply all our intelligence, all our capabilities to try and somehow make the truck stop by our own personal force. And we are wondering, why is this truck driver trying to give me so much trouble? But there is a very simple solution to this problem. Instead of trying to just hold on to our own ideas and our own designations which the mind has given, if we just cut that rope, that our idea, our sense of identity of who we are, which is keeping us attached to that truck, if we just cut that rope, then all this trouble that we are facing will be immediately stopped. So therefore, the attachment through the false ego of the soul to different material identities, that must be cut. And what is the easiest way to do that? In this age of Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has so mercifully come and given us the mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Mantra means that which frees the mind. Manat Trayate Itri Mantra. So therefore, this particular gift, Golokera Prem Dhan, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has got straight from Golok to the denizens of Kaliyuga, we have to chant this mantra in order to relieve our mind from falsely implicating ourselves in various designations. So therefore, we should also be understand that if it was not for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we would never be able to get this message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was Srila Prabhupada and his disciples who have spread this holy name all over the world, in all the continents of the world, every corner of the world, that we have got this opportunity to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And chanting these holy names of the Lord, we can cut the attachment of the mind to various designations, and thereby allow the soul to understand its true nature, that is an eternal servant of Krishna, and engage in the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, and therefore go back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any questions? Actually, I would prefer to invite comments, because I don't know whether I will be able to respond to any questions. हाँ बोलिए
आपका बड़ा धन्यवाद है आप क्लास के लिए प्रभु जी जो आपने बात एडमिट की है ना वही प्रभुपाद जी के शिष्य जो कल प्रश्न दिया था उन लेक्चर में उन्होंने भी कहा था कि भागवतम इट्स सर्टेनली वेरी इनकंसीवेबल फिर तो श्लोक के बारे में तो कहा ही क्या जाए
नहीं वो तो है हाँ लेकिन क्या है भागवत के बारे में चर्चा करने से और भागवत श्रवण करने से और कीर्तन करने से हमारी शुद्धिकरण होती है जस्ट बाय हियरिंग एंड चैंटिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम हमारी शुद्धिकरण होती है वी गेट प्यूरिफाइड एंड दैट इज़ द ओनली रीज़न व्हाई आई एम सिटिंग हियर एंड डिस्कसिंग दिस सब्जेक्ट मैटर अदरवाइज एज आई बिगैन राइट एट द बिगिनिंग विद द वर्ड्स ऑफ हिज ओनली देवामृत स्वामी महाराज भागवतम इट्सेल्फ इज वेरी इनकन्सीवेबल एंड दिस करंट एस्पेशली दिस करंट एपिसोड ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम दैट वी आर रीडिंग इज रियली आई मीन इट गोज बियॉन्ड ऑल कंसेप्शंस बट फॉर माई ओन पर्सनल प्यूरिफिकेशन श्रीमद् भागवतम इज अमल पुराण एंड इट विल हेल्प अस टू प्यूरिफाई वन सेल्फ सो इवन दो राइट नाउ वी आर नॉट इन अ पोजिशन टू अंडरस्टैंड एंड टू बी एबल टू कंसीव why this is like this or why this is not like that. But just accepting the words of the Acharyas, that reading Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam itself is a purifying process. Therefore, we read Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, right in the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions that one who has read the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, right by the time one reads the first 9 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is sure to become a God-realized person. So that is the potency, and we are right now almost at the end of 9th canto. Yeah. I mean, the whole temple. So, yes, Baldev Prabhu. Comment, I think. I hope it's a comment.
Straightforward, straight way by which
Are you asking for some practical things or what?
How we can avoid that? Because you see, it's
as far as the principle is concerned, I feel you are a much better preacher. You travel much more, and you have developed so many practical aspects that you could share that with us. As far as the principle of how to, if you could share that, you travel so much. You preach so many colleges. I mean, as for myself, what I can say, very insignificant things, like you mentioned email, we have to access email. So therefore, as far as possible, we try to access email, wherein PAMO, we use PAMO network, where there is no HTML or no advertisements, suddenly they'll pop up on your screen or something like that. But bottom line is to have a strong sadhana, morning program, strong sadhana from Mangalarti to Srimad Bhagavatam class. And apart from that, also personal sadhana of reading Srila Prabhupada books. And most importantly, the whole idea is to be able to have this thought always at the back of the mind, because we as representatives of Srila Prabhupada's movement, we personally are insignificant. Any misdemeanor that we might perform, the impact of that misdemeanor to us on a personal level would be hardly anything. I mean, maybe one day, 2 days, after that people forget you. People forget us as an individual. But whatever misdemeanor which may happen, that will impact Srila Prabhupada's movement on a big, very large scale. Because anybody who sees us performing any activity which is not according to proper standards, they are going to see, oh, Hare Krishna person. And everybody gets, I mean, all other devotees in the ISKCON movement, they just get clubbed into that same category. I am sure many of us have all this experience, where we meet somebody and they have had some bad experience with some one individual. In this entire movement of Srila Prabhupada, one individual has done something wrong and some person has some bad experience with that. And when some other devotee goes and meets that person and they have no relationship among them, but this person's entire image about what Srila Prabhupada's movement is and what the devotees in Srila Prabhupada's movement stand for, that entire image is so much distorted that he does not want to hear another word. In fact, he cannot stand a Hare Krishna devotee. So personally for myself, this is how I feel always, that if I am observed doing something wrong, I mean, of course, there are higher and higher levels. First is because of fear. Ultimately, it's because of love. Our own love for Krishna that drives us. Fear is not a very good, Sam Dam Dandabet. It's not a very good motivator. But on my personal level, since you are asking me, I always have this thought at the back of my mind that, please, I pray to Srila Prabhupada, please always remind me that I am part, I have to keep this in my background, I am part of your movement. And I should not be a victim. Why? Because that would, personally for me it would be not a big thing, but it may not impact me on such a big scale, but the impact would be more on Srila Prabhupada's movement. So that is how I keep myself in check. Of course, as I said, there will be higher and higher levels out of love for Krishna. But I am not qualified to speak on that level. Maybe you can share something with us. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।